Good morning and welcome to Finance Pulse. Today is Monday, June 29th, 2026. I'm bringing you a fresh start to the week, and the headline story this morning is something that did not make the Friday news cycle but deserves every CFO's attention. The St. Louis Fed published data confirming that the NIM tailwind, the one that powered bank earnings through 2024 and 2025, has officially reversed. Here is what happened. In the first quarter of 2026, the banking system recorded its first quarterly decline in net interest income since mid-2024. Net interest margins contracted system-wide to 3.22%, down from 3.30% in the fourth quarter of 2025. Loan yields fell from 6.75% to 6.51% in the quarter, after peaking at 7.13% in late 2024. The story here is not rising funding costs. Deposit repricing is largely done. The story is asset-side erosion. Prior cycle loans written at peak yields are rolling off, and new originations are pricing into a lower-rate world. So any bank still running a planning model that assumes NIM holds or gently expands through 2026, that model is now working from an invalidated assumption. The transformation demand this creates is specific and urgent. A modern FP&A platform that can disaggregate asset yield drivers from liability cost drivers in real time, and that supports genuine multi-scenario rate path modeling. And the rate path is far from simple. 9 of 18 Fed policymakers now expect at least one additional hike in 2026, with the median dot pointing to 3.8% by year-end. Here is the contrarian insight for this morning. The consensus treats a hike as bad for NIM because it raises funding costs. That is true for the liability side, but it misses the asset side relief. The current compression is driven by loans repricing downward on a rate path that has already cut three times. A hike would begin to refloor new origination yields. Banks with higher variable rate loan books and lower deposit repricing sensitivity would see NIM re-expand faster than peers. The CFO who models only funding cost pressure from a hike is solving the wrong half of the equation. Now, let's move to an AI governance story that is time-sensitive and genuinely new. Today, June 29th, Colorado's Comprehensive AI Act takes effect, targeting any business deploying what the state defines as high-risk AI. For banks with credit decisioning or underwriting AI deployed in Colorado operations, the immediate question is whether federal charter preemption via the National Bank Act of 1864 provides shelter. Nationally chartered banks have a strong preemption argument. State-chartered super-regionals do not have that shield. We have also seen Illinois make AI-assisted hiring decisions a civil rights violation, and Texas prohibit entire categories of AI use with penalties reaching $200,000. This state law patchwork is now a real compliance spend trigger, not a hypothetical. It lands squarely in two finance transformation budget lines: governance tooling for AI and finance deployments, and model risk management infrastructure. Add this to the April 2026 Federal Model Risk Update, which explicitly carved out generative and agentic AI from traditional model risk frameworks, creating a governance gap that banks must self-fill. And you have a regulatory vacuum that every controller and chief risk officer needs a documented answer to. On agentic AI in production, the most concrete deployment signal of the past week is the FIS and Anthropic Financial Crimes AI agent. BMO and Amalgamated Bank are in active development today, with general availability planned for the second half of 2026. The agent compresses AML case investigations from days to minutes, and FIS has built it so that every agent decision is traceable and auditable within FIS-controlled infrastructure. That governance architecture, auditability baked into the design, not added on, is the pattern that finance function AI deployments should be learning from. A practitioner deployment playbook published in May makes another important org design point. Mature agentic AI programs in finance are creating a new named role, the finance agent owner, sitting under the controller or FP&A lead, responsible for prompt quality, model update review, and the evidence pipeline. This role does not exist in traditional finance org charts. Teams that try to absorb it into existing roles see it consistently deprioritized under cycle pressure. For banks running transformation programs right now, this is the moment to embed that role in future state operating models rather than retrofit it. A quick note on the super-regional picture. PNC has announced an 18% increase in its quarterly dividend to $2 per share following the DFAST results. US Bancorp has a dividend increase to 54 cents per share, with an ex-dividend date tomorrow, June 30th. Truist has a stated ROTCE target of 15% by 2027. These are concrete board commitments that flow directly into capital planning, balance sheet optimization, and treasury forecasting cycles. And on the regulatory front, with 11 days now elapsed since the Basel III comment deadline, finalization is on track for later this year, with broad bipartisan support among governors. The operative planning question for superregionals is not whether it passes, it is the AOCI inclusion requirement for Category 3 and 4 banks, which carries an estimated 4.5% CET1 impact and a 5-year phase-in beginning in 2027. Finally, a word on stablecoins that belongs on every treasurer's radar. Genius Act implementation guidance is expected by July 2026, with rules effective January 27th. That is less than 7 months away. Banks need stablecoin accounting treatment, liquidity stress scenarios, and capital adequacy positions. A genuinely new finance function capability requirement before the rules land, not after. Let me close with your three conversation hooks for client meetings this week. First, given Q1's NIM contraction on asset yield erosion, how is your client disaggregating asset side versus liability side NIM drivers in their planning model? And does their FP&A platform support real-time fund transfer pricing at the product level? Second, Colorado's AI Act is live today. For state-chartered institutions, who owns the high-risk AI compliance mapping? And is the governance framework documented at the entity level rather than the enterprise level? Third, the stablecoin clock is running, with Genius Act rules taking effect in January 2027. Does your client's treasury transformation roadmap include stablecoin accounting treatment and liquidity stress modeling as a deliverable in the next 2 quarters? That is Finance Pulse for Monday, June 29th. Have a strong start to the week.